When I talked about this last week, I had a completely different idea. But as I started working on it, I realized that my concept is going to take about 6 months. I've got 15 minutes.
It's going to be a fast ride.
So I decided to make my point. I'm not going to ask you if you read Deuteronomy 1 through 6 or James. But if
Mark was on my list.
If you were using this and this, you would have already done that. Okay. So in the first six chapters of Deuteronomy, you found out that Moses is covering over 40 years of history of the history of the Israelites. He covers from the Exodus, crossing the Red Sea, up until they get to the border of the Promised Land the first time. Their refusal to go into the Promised Land, and they're wandering around in the desert for 40 years because they wouldn't go into the Promised Land. And you said to yourself, I wonder why that's important. Well, in the book of James, James spends a lot of time talking about what we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 or 5 months, however long it's been, that we've been talking about good works. And you wonder how come that's important. What difference did it make why the Israelites wandered around in the desert for 40 years? Or the fact that they did may be even less important or more important, I don't know. But what does this have to do with me today? Well, if you read Hebrews 11 or 12, I'll analyze it in a minute, so I'm going on. If you read Hebrews 11 or 12, the writer of Hebrews, St. Paul, says that these things are witnesses for what? What God has done for his people. The Old Testament is a witness to the New Testament people about what God has done for his people. In the Old Testament, we know that the nation of Israel is used metaphorically to prophesy about the New Testament church. In the broad sense, what happens in Israel is not any different than what happens in the church now. It's one whole continuing thing going on over and over again. Nothing has changed in the church since the resurrection of Christ until now. You wouldn't know that if you listened to us talk. You wouldn't know that the world is exactly the same as it was in 2000 BC if you listened to the news reports. You wouldn't know that people got sick and died then at a much greater rate than we're doing it now. You wouldn't know that. By the same token, it's true that if you listen to the Lutheran term, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, you think you're worse off than everybody's ever been before in the history of the world. Okay. But in Deuteronomy and in James, the scriptures tell us that's not true. Particularly in Deuteronomy, because the Israelites made the same dumb mistakes we do. And they really are stupid. But how do we know that? Hence, the psalm that the... In case you don't know it, I'm selling these today. The Our Family Daily Prayers, the psalm for the readings in here this week was 139. On the table, you've got a copy of Psalm 139. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at it. And I think I've just about decided to do what my wife told me not to do. It is.
He says she's going to talk to you when you get home.
Oh, I know that. Anyway, in Psalm 139, David is proclaiming the grace of God. And it's basically pretty much divided into three different sections. And in the first verse, he starts out, he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. What does he go on to say then? You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. So now in these two verses, David is simply pointing out that God knows what's going on. He really knows. And then in the third verse, in the New King James translation, it says, You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. What does comprehend mean?
Foresee, that
sound good. But what does comprehend mean?
Fully understand something.
Understand.
Fully understand. Mm-hmm. What does fully understand mean?
Comprehend.
Well, you know, see, the reason that I think this is important is because in Hebrew, this word is an agricultural term. Do any of you know anything about farming? Other than Shirley. Shirley can't.
Husband's a farmer.
We don't know anything about farming. So what's David trying to say here? When the footnote on in some King James Bibles is that it says winnowing. Does anybody know what winnowing is?
Oh, yeah.
What's winnowing?
That's when you take your crop seeds and so forth, you throw them up in the air and you get rid of the hulls. There's a whole host of things, actually, that are beginning with the cutting of the seed.
I thought it was looking for water.
No, that's the vine.
Okay. Somebody had their hand up. Mike.
Separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah.
Oh, you separate part of the seed from
it. Any of you farming in 1950? Now we've got computers to do all this stuff. But in 1950, if you were farming 640 acres of ground, when did you decide what you were going to plant in this field next summer? Because by now you already had the seed ordered. When did you decide you were going to plant corn in this field?
The year before. Probably in July.
Probably
what year?
Could
year
be the
prior.
Year before.
Plant beans in 1 year, corn next year.
Well, I don't know too much about farming, but I do know that there's two crops that fertilize ground for corn. One of them is soybeans, the other is alfalfa. So now, you're going to put corn in this field in 1950. So in 1948, you put either corn or either beans or alfalfa in that field. In 1949, you put in either, well, you put in the opposite one. And then in 1950, you plant corn. That's part of the winnowing process. So this Hebrew term actually means the whole part of growing the crop from when the farmer decides to have a crop till the grain goes in the jar. So what's he saying here?
He's saying that he knows everything about you from now until you die.
You comprehend. When did God comprehend that we would sit here today and learn His Word because He had given us faith?
With the beginning of the world.
Before time began. So does He know what's going on? That's my point is here, that when the Scriptures talk about God knowing, He really knows. It's all planned out. He's got it figured out. This is the way it's going to be. We don't. And so when David makes this statement, you understand my thoughts afar off. Then, and you comprehend my paths and my lying down. Then, if you remember here about 9 months ago, we talked about 2 Samuel, where the child of David, the illegitimate child of David and Bathsheba died. And David said, I won't go to him, but he will come to me. No. Or he won't come to me, I will go to him. So I told you I was running 100 miles an hour. Sorry about that. You remember that?
Yeah.
We talked about that. We talked about that here in this class. He will not come to me, I will go to him. When David makes that statement, what do you know he knows?
He knows about the resurrection of the dead.
He knows about the resurrection of the dead. So what does that what does that mean?
He knows he's going to go to heaven, that his child is in heaven.
Okay. Well, so now, what does that mean?
He knows about the
Savior. He knows that God has brought him into a relationship with him that can't be separated. And so, David has the assurance there. And he has the assurance there, and I didn't check the dates on this, so I don't actually know which one is first. But he knows that the Lord is with him. Why is this important?
Well, that's what your faith is based on.
It's what your faith is based on.
He's just sinned and...
You know, what?
He has just committed a great sin, then he knows that God has not left him.
Right.
He also knows that he knows that.
Don't stop, let it out.
I'm not sure what I want
train
to say.
Of thought. You put Mike on the spot, you can put me on the spot.
No, just go on.
Pastor, doesn't that also tell us that forgiveness is for us as well, right?
Oh. Yeah. If David can have that confidence, why can't we?
Yeah, because we're neither greater nor lesser sinners than he.
Right.
And just to think, Job said the same thing. He said, with my own eyes, I will see the Lord. He knew that there was a resurrection.
Right.
He knew that he would be face to face with God. He had faith in Christ.
See, hence the testimony of the writer of Hebrews is that the whole Old Testament is telling you exactly the same thing that he was telling you. It's exactly the same thing that all the prophets, the priests, and the kings of the Old Testament, that Jesus told you, the apostles, the pastors and teachers of the New Testament church are telling you. God actually knows what's going on. He really does know what's going on. Now, he knows what, and we'll go on to the next verse because I don't want to drag that on too much farther. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Does God know we sin?
No.
Does God know we're going to ask for forgiveness?
No.
Does God forgive us?
Mm-hmm.
The next verse, another interesting farming term. You have hedged me before, or behind and before. What does hedge mean?
That's a fence. Form of a fence.
A fence. You fenced me in. Who can get you? Nobody.
He's protected us against everything.
Right. So who but God can keep you safe? A lot of people today are telling us they're going to keep us safe. Who can do it?
God.
Yeah. There's no other safety. See, the weathermen are keeping us safe. The masks are keeping us safe. The government's keeping us safe. The governor's keeping us safe. Everybody's keeping us safe.
And they're not doing a thing.
And they're not doing anything. They're talking about it, but they're not doing anything. See, who's doing something? And when did he do it?
Before time.
It's already done, isn't it? He is keeping us safe because he's always kept his church safe. Now, how much longer do you want me to go?
5 minutes.
You may be sorry about that. Anyway, the point being is that how do we know that?
The Word tells us.
In His Word.
Pardon?
The Word tells us.
Okay. So the Scriptures tell us that.
Right.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And then Christ has given us faith so that we believe it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or we should. Whether we do or not, I don't know.
Well, sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. That's the problem. And hence, we're getting close now to my spiel for these two little books. And if we run out, I'm sure that Pastor Henson will be happy to print more. So if you can't find these two books, be sure and ask. Because this is simply a guide to keep you reading the Scriptures. And this is simply a guide to let you, or give you some insight into specific verses of Scripture.
And that was online at the Eldona website, too.
These are online, that's right, on the Eldona website. Now, the other thing that I want to tell you about it, 3 weeks ago, there was 17th Sunday after Trinity. Yeah, anyway... What I want to say about this, and I'm going to quit now because if I get wound up again, I'll never know. Anyway, in the English language, since 1900, these probably have the best devotions
that
you're going to find in the United States. Because they're once in a while you'll see a little pietism sneak in, but the fact of the matter is they are, as a general rule, very, very faithful to the scriptures. Okay, over to you. I'm done.
You were going to point out that all those scripture readings tie together.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. In the readings in the daily prayer,
correct.
Okay. Those are, well, I'll call them liturgical readings, although actually you need to give me a little latitude there. They all tie together, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then, lo and behold, although the readings for the Lutheran Herald come from a different source, they usually deal with the same problem. So you have three different perspectives on the Bible theme for the week, every day of the week. And you get to read these beautiful Psalms over and over and over again, where you actually pick up some knowledge. It's a little different than hearing the psalm read on Sunday or chanted on Sunday or however we do it. It's a little different when you sit down and look at the words, because comprehend means a lot more than the normal American thinks comprehend means.